Welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. First thing on the show today, we've got the first in our Civic Chats series. It's a new series where we speak with lawmakers and community leaders about important issues. Today, we're talking with Chattanooga City Council member Chris Anderson and Tennessee State Senator Todd Gardenhire about Insure Tennessee. It's a program that was meant to help more than 200,000 low-income Tennessee residents afford health insurance, but it never got off the ground. Under the Affordable Care Act, everyone is supposed to have access to health care. Everyone is supposed to get insurance. And originally, Medicaid money, federal money, was going to be used to subsidize health care for many of the poorest adults in Tennessee. But Governor Haslam didn't take the money. He said Medicaid is a broken system, and so he wanted to come up with his own system, an alternative to expanding Medicaid. Haslam's system is called Insure Tennessee. It's still funded by federal money, but the state would have control over it. But that plan never passed. It never even made it out of the committee stage. State Senator Bo Watson and State Senator Todd Gardenhire were two local lawmakers who voted against it. So now the question is, what will happen next year when the legislature convenes again? It's likely that Insure Tennessee will come up again in some form because there are still more than 200,000 low-income Tennessee residents without health insurance. Chattanooga City Council Representative Chris Anderson is speaking up in support of Insure Tennessee. In fact, he recently sponsored a local resolution supporting it, and I'm going to read part of the text of this resolution. Quote, "Whereas Governor Haslam's initiative Insure Tennessee seeks to provide health care coverage to low-income citizens without expanding Medicaid and at no cost to the state, be it resolved by the City Council of the City of Chattanooga, Tennessee, that it is hereby supporting Governor Haslam's Insure Tennessee initiative," unquote. And that City Council resolution passed on November 3rd. Chris Anderson joins us to talk about it. Chris Anderson, thank you for speaking with us today.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So this is a decision for the state legislature. Why did the Chattanooga City Council recently discuss this and pass a resolution in support of Insure Tennessee?
Well, you know, city councils are actually the government that's closest to the people. We represent them on a day-to-day basis. The state legislature hasn't actually voted on Insure Tennessee. A small handful of senators killed it in a subcommittee last year. So the House hasn't even seen it in a committee, and the Senate floor hasn't seen it either. So I think it's our duty, as well as the duty of all local elected officials, to make their constituents' voices heard. The citizens of Chattanooga want this to pass, and more importantly, they at least want it to come to a vote.
How do you know that? How do you know that the citizens of Chattanooga want this?
Overwhelmingly, people in my district ask for it. Since the resolution passed, I've had nothing negative from a single resident of my district and tons of people thanking me for doing it. So it's clearly a very popular program that people want to see.
What does this resolution actually do?
It sends the message loud and clear to our legislative delegation, as well as the entire Tennessee General Assembly. The people of Chattanooga and their elected leaders are asking them to pass the Insure Tennessee plan put forth by the governor last year.
And what kind of practical effect were you hoping that this will have?
We have made their voices heard to the legislators who clearly weren't hearing them, especially in the case of our state senator who voted to kill it twice. But more than that, we wanted to draw attention to the issue, and I think we've certainly done that.
Insure Tennessee is actually designed by, of course, the state's Republican administration.
Right.
It's touted as being crafted on conservative principles, so why do you support it?
Well, it's touted as that, but I don't know what's conservative or liberal about just making sure that people have access to affordable health care. And I think that the opponents of it oppose it because they say things like, well, is this Obamacare? As if that matters. That was an actual thing that an elected state senator said in the hearing last year. Well, I want to find out if this is Obamacare or not. Well, first of all, if someone doesn't understand the Affordable Care Act and they're an elected leader governing on it, they should resign. And second of all, that doesn't matter. What matters is the over 200,000 Tennesseans who are in the gap. They do not qualify for Medicaid. They can't afford to buy into the exchanges. They're the working poor. These are not unemployed people. These are people who are underemployed. They're working a 40-hour work week, and they simply don't make enough money to afford the exchanges.
Some of the critics of this have said, well, you know, Haslam is saying this won't cost the state taxpayers anything, but just because a politician says something doesn't mean that it'll turn out that way. What happens if we pass this and two or three years down the road, this becomes a huge drain on the state financially?
Great question. And you know, I would say that if we were locking it in for years and years, then we might be faced with what our last Democratic governor, Phil Bredesen, had to do, which is cut people from the 10 care rolls when it became too costly for the state. That's something the governor can do. But we won't even have to do that because this program, the Intra-Tennessee program, is actually a pilot program with a sunset provision that has to be renewed when the federal funding drops from 100% to 90%. And as far as our tax dollars, we're already paying for it. The problem is we're paying for it in Kentucky and 27 other states who have chosen to expand Medicaid while we chose not to. We're paying hundreds of millions of dollars every year to the federal government and not receiving a dime of it back. It's going to fund Medicaid expansions in states that, frankly, have better leadership in their state government.
Because that's we're paying these federal taxes, but then we're not getting the federal tax money back, basically.
That's exactly right. We are funding Medicaid expansion in other states at the expense of our own citizens.
How many people in Hamilton County would this affect? I've seen estimates between 18 and 25,000.
It's the higher number's right. It's about 25,000. State estimates is as high as 280,000, as low as 200, depending on where that number hits for wages next year. But generally, the higher number is about right for Hamilton County, about 25,000.
You are District 7. You represent District 7. That's Alton Park, downtown, East Lake, and St. Elmo. What's going on in your district that maybe not related to Insure Tennessee, but just in general, what's going on that maybe people don't know about, that they're not hearing about, that you'd like more people to know about?
Sure. And, you know, everything goes on in my district. When I travel for the city or for personal reasons, and people say, where are you from? And I say, I'm from Chattanooga. And they say, well, you know, well, what part do you represent on the council? And I say, well, have you been to Chattanooga? And if they say yes, then I say, well, you've been to my district. Because all the reasons that people come to Chattanooga basically are in District 7, and they're certainly in Senate District 10. So right now in Alton Park, which is an area that's been neglected for many, many years by previous administrations, we're taking an old school site, the Bell Elementary School, which closed about 25 years ago, and we're putting $1 million to start construction on a park that'll begin next year. It will be done before the end of the term. The last few months, what I've been doing is meeting with local residents and neighborhood association leaders to determine what exactly they want in the park. The worst thing we could do is to spend a bunch of money on a park that no one uses, right?
Yeah.
So we're making sure we did a survey with the Southside Leadership Advisory Council. They surveyed about 600 people in the area. So we know what age range of playground equipment people are looking for, and if they want pavilions, and if they want a basketball court versus a volleyball court. And we're doing all these great things. And when you make that kind of investment in a community that's been neglected, it spreads. And you start to see, you know, better morale there. People are happier. Crime goes down. It sounds like it's just a park, but it has so much far-reaching effects that we'll see after that.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you for having me, always.
That was City Council Representative Chris Anderson. You're listening to A Roundabout Chattanooga, and this is the first in our Civic Chats series. The idea behind this series is exactly what you just heard. We give local leaders a chance to talk about an important issue and a chance to tell us about something that's not getting much news coverage. By the way, the Times Free Press has reported that Chris Anderson is considering a run against State Senator Todd Gardenhire next year. Anderson confirmed that to me, that he is considering a run but hasn't decided yet. Todd Gardenhire is one of the state Republicans who voted against Insure Tennessee. He represents District 10, that's Bradley and part of Hamilton counties. It was surprising, or at least surprising to me, that Insure Tennessee never got off the ground. According to a University of Tennessee study, it would have boosted the state's economy, bringing in more than $1 billion in new spending. It was crafted by a Republican governor, yet state Republicans rejected it. To get some idea why, I'm now going to speak with Senator Gardenhire about his concerns with Insure Tennessee and what he thinks is in store if the plan comes back for a new vote next year. You have spoken with Governor Haslam personally about Insure Tennessee. What did you and the governor talk about?
Well, we talked several times on a personal basis, just one-on-one. We talked about my objections to Insure Tennessee. He gave me his reasons. I applaud him for what he was trying to do, his goals for doing it. But his plan was really premature. It wasn't completed yet, especially on the finances. That's the only thing that bothered me. The finances just weren't there under the current setup that he had. It wasn't sustainable in years 3, 4, and 5 and out past those time periods. First 2 years was somewhat sustainable. It was still going to cost us $15 million in the first year. and it cost us $70 to $75 million in years 2 and 3, just the state alone, not counting what the deficit would be when the federal government started cutting back on their allotments to the state.
From what I understand, the hospitals had pledged to cover that deficit. Is that not what was actually in there?
Well, I think you used the right word. They pledged. They did not sign anything. They just gave us a promise with a wink and a thumbs up that they would take care of it. But where does that money come from? That money comes from other people paying higher costs for health care. There was nothing in that plan that addressed the cost of health care. It was all throwing more money at an already broken system. Let me tell you something. Let's take Erlanger Hospital in Chattanooga as an example. Erlanger covered $80 million in uncompensated care for indigent patients 2 years ago. They made a $20 million profit while doing it. They paid bonuses to the executives, not to the employees. They paid bonuses to the executives. On the retiree side, they cut out the retiree's insurance, and they cut back on other benefits, the pension benefits that they had, in order to make a profit while still doing it. Now, that's the third largest hospital in the state, and they were going to be one of the five hospitals that received over 80% of all the money from Insured Tennessee. And yet they're doing just fine taking care of the indigent patients. And I kept saying in my mind, wait a minute. We're dependent on the hospitals to pay for that difference, as you said. And yet the hospitals are telling us they're going to make a profit like they're doing now and pay big bonuses while they're cutting out their benefits to the employees. And I'm saying there's something wrong with that business model.
So it sounds like you're more opposed to the financial details of the plan than the idea of the plan itself.
Oh, I'm not opposed to the idea of the plan itself. It was great. As a matter of fact, I invited the governor to come down to Sea Island, Georgia in January of this year and speak to the leading group of 400 conservative leaders nationwide and present his idea of his plan to these people, people from the Heritage Foundation, people from all the conservative movement, people across the country. I thought, this is a great idea, but as we got closer and we got past all that, I saw that it financially wasn't going to work.
This will probably come up again in the legislature next year. What do you think is going to happen with it? What would it take for you to change your mind on it?
Well, it may come up, but it won't get very far. It's now become a partisan political issue, and that's a shame because it needs to be fully vetted. The governor, I understand, and I'll just say understand, he hasn't told me, is not going to present it. It won't be presented by him. It'll be presented by the Democrats as a political ploy for the 2016 election cycle. And when things become political like that, they don't get anywhere. It's not a political body up there anymore. It's more on issues.
Completely unrelated to Insure Tennessee, is there anything interesting going on in your district that you think isn't getting publicized right now that you'd like people to know about?
I think it's two or three things going on in there. One, the city of Chattanooga is collecting some additional fees off of the sewer, everybody's sewer fees. When people pay their bills on time, I'm getting a lot of complaints. We've even had that problem myself, getting a lot of complaints where you pay your sewer bills on time, ahead of time, have the canceled checks to prove it, and the city's still charging the late fee even after that, and they're collecting an enormous amount of money when they shouldn't be. That's one thing the media hadn't picked up on. Second thing going on is remedial education. That's a real problem in our system. We have about 30% of all the kids, 40% of all the kids that graduate have to take remedial work when they go to the community colleges. Let me tell you, when they walk across that stage in May and June and they get the diploma that says we're college and career ready, and then 2 months later they go to a college or university and they don't have the grades or what it takes to start classes, close to 60% of those kids end up dropping out of school and don't get the college or higher education they need. That's a real problem we've been working on and having hearings on, and we're going to try to correct that.
Senator Gardenhire, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling.
That was Tennessee State Senator Todd Gardenhire. He represents District 10, that's Bradley and part of Hamilton counties. And that concludes the first in our Civic Chats series, where local leaders give us different perspectives on an issue. And as you just heard, we give them a chance to tell us about something that's maybe not getting much news coverage. What are your ideas for this series? What are the issues you want to hear about? Let me know. You can email me at mike@mike.com. Mike-Miller at utc.edu. That's Mike-Miller at utc.edu. You're listening to A Rounded About.